So I read a lot of articles, and I'm seeing this one virulent strand of bad advice that I want to address in this episode. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
So I read Forbes and Entrepreneur and Inc. and all these magazines very frequently. I read a lot of these articles, and I'm seeing one strand of very bad advice that I want to address because it can really derail you. And that's saying this: during the pandemic, you just have to do more. You have to get out there and hustle. You have to get out there and just really double down. I'm not sure that that's the right way to go, and here's why. So I was reading a great book by Darren Hardy. So Darren Hardy wrote The Entrepreneurial Roller Coaster. He also wrote The Compound Effect, which is a great book. If you haven't read it, please get The Compound Effect. So at any rate, I'm reading through The Entrepreneurial Roller Coaster. It's a reasonably good book. I'm just going through. I get to chapter 5, I'm like, wow. I get to chapter 6, I'm like, wow. Okay, here's what I'm going to talk about. Chapter 5 and the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of, well, all of chapter 6. So at the end of chapter 5, he tells a story of he's interviewing a billionaire, and he asked the billionaire, well, what's your secret to becoming a billionaire? He says, well, be a quitter. What do you mean? He said, be a quitter. Don't do anything outside that which you absolutely need to be doing, outside anything that is your sweet spot. Now, he was talking about, like, you know, he was thinking, like, well, I work really hard, and Darren Hardy does work hard, okay? He's thinking, like, if wealth was based on how hard you work, he would be outpacing Tony Hawk and Richard Branson and Donald Trump. But, you know, he said Tony Hawk's out there enjoying himself a whole lot more than I am. Richard Branson's living on his own island, frolicking in the water much more than I am. Donald Trump's on the golf course more than I am. What gives? What is going on? And so he started thinking about, well, what is it? What's the advice? Well, it's be a quitter. It's stop doing certain things so that you can focus on other things. Focus on that which is most important to you. So he gave the example of Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz has written or co-written more than 400 research papers. Now, he's not the greatest academic, but he's been part of it, and here's why. He's also been had a four-time Emmy Award-winning television show, and he's done in that, while he's doing that, he's doing 200 surgeries a year. How's he doing it? Well, he's not doing everything. So he is co-writing a certain part of that research paper. He is not producing and doing, you know, he's not chief cook and bottle washer for every aspect of the show. He shows up, does his little narrow slice, and goes. Same with the surgeries. He shows up to his surgery. They've already prepped. They've already opened. They've already done everything except the little bit that he does, and does exceedingly well. And then he closes, washes his hands, and goes on his merry way. So Dr. Oz has this down, this formula down to a science. Darren Hardy talked about that. He said, you know, so if I focused on the important thing, the most important thing, the thing that makes it rain, what would it look like? And so when he was in real estate, he tried this. He said, okay, I'm going to take a stopwatch, and every time that I'm actually physically talking to somebody, doing the prospecting, I'm going to click the stopwatch and click it off as soon as that's done. So he did that. He spent a 16-hour day doing, you know, hustling. And what did he find after a 16-hour day of hustling? He found that he had only done the productive work of the day for 19 minutes and 54 seconds. A 16-hour day. And he said he's got it up as high as 4 hours over the course of a day, which means that we do the unproductive things for most of the day. And so he talked about, look, if you want to have a higher income, let's do this. Let's take your income and divide it by roughly 2,000 hours. That's how many hours you're going to work, 40 hours a week for 50 weeks out of the year. So 2,000 hours. And if you want to know what your income needs to be, well, you have to produce worth that amount. So if you want a $250K income, you have to produce $125 an hour, productive hour, 2,000 times over the course of that year, right? Okay, so it's simple math. But we spend time doing all these things that are minutia, these things that don't really add value. And when we do that, we're not really being productive. And I know that many people are in jobs or they're salaried where that doesn't work. But even then, the high value things that you do at work, like things that I do at work, the high value stuff I do is in class, dealing directly with my students. It's not silly meetings or extra activities or events that, you know, yeah, it makes us look good, but it's not really helping, right? So there are certain things that I can do and that add value. There's research that's important to filling into students' minds, right? That all adds value. But there's some things that are more valuable than others, and you have to focus on that. He gives the example, and he did this in The Compound Effect, I think, as well. He gives the example of Joel Osteen. I'm not a big fan of Joel Osteen, but this is what Osteen does, why he is so big. His schedule is like this. He realized that the highest value thing that he does is his 22-minute sermon on Sunday morning. That's it. Everything else somebody else can do, but that's his focus. So here's his schedule. On Monday, it's a day off. You know, he just preached on Sunday. Monday's a day off. Tuesday is light office work. Wednesday, he thinks about his message. He researches. He takes notes. He tries to get the basic bones of it. And then Thursday, he writes a sermon word for word. Friday, he memorizes the sermon. He completely memorizes it. Okay, now Saturday, he practices before a private audience. And Sunday, he delivers his 22-minute message perfectly. It's down to a science. Now, whether that's a good plan for a preacher to preach or not is irrelevant. He's got it down to a science because he realized that is where the action is for him. Let's talk about Richard Branson. Somebody, he gives another example of Richard Branson. Somebody who's a company is asking him to come speak. Will you come speak? $100,000? No. $250,000? No. $500,000? No. Okay, we're going to write you a blank check. Tell us how much you'll speak for. We'll write the check. And he got this back from Richard Branson's office. It said this, quote, "No amount of money would matter. Right now, Sir Richard has three strategic priorities he's focused on, and he will only allow us to allocate his calendar to something that significantly contributes to the accomplishment of one of his priorities. And speaking for a fee is not one of them." Wow. I mean, he turned down a blank check. Like at $100,000, I'd be there. $500, sure. He turned down a blank check. It could have been any amount, and he's still turning it down because he has certain priorities and he's sticking to them. You get things done when you focus on your priorities. Warren Buffett said the same thing. And again, Darren Hardy is giving this example as well. Warren Buffett's formula for success, and I've seen this in a number of places, is one, write out all your priorities. Okay? Good enough. We can do that. And then most of us have pages and pages of priorities. He said, number two, narrow it to the top three priorities. Just focus on those. But the real kicker to Warren Buffett's formula is this. Throw out all the other priorities. And when you remove everything else, then you're just focusing on what really, really, really matters. Until you get those done, then you can do the process again. But that is why it works for Warren Buffett. And Buffett said this, "For every 100 opportunities that are brought to me, I say no 99 times. That's amazing. So here's what I want to encourage you to do right now. I want you to stop thinking about, let me do more, let me do more, let me do more, let me do more. And I want you to think in terms of stop, be a quitter. Okay. Just take this advice, be a quitter. Now I understand that not everybody can be a quitter and delegate things to other people and just think about, you know, the most important thing, but stop doing, even if you can't delegate things out because you don't have the staff, stop doing the things that are lowest priority and focus as exclusively as possible on those things that bring you the greatest value. If you do, you'll be as efficient as possible at doing the high order things that are going to make you the best kind of leader that you can be for the sustainability of your business. So ignore the bad advice that you're reading in the magazines right now and think about this advice and take it to heart. Think about how you can stop doing things, not how you can do more.